You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
We know. Calm down. Welcome to the AGR. Hold on. Welcome to the AGR for game 36 against the league worst Montreal Canadiens. And the Stars will lose by a final score of 5-3 tonight. I'm staying as calm as I possibly can right now because I kind of ranted on Twitter quite a bit. But before we get into this game, I want to thank DraftKings for letting us do this podcast where we can vent our frustration in this cluster of a game. Please make sure you go and use the promo code THP and the next time you go and use the DraftKings app. That lets them know that we're the ones that sent you, and I'm sure they will have more fun than us tonight. That was a cluster. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring in everybody here tonight. We got James up in the top right up there, Chris down on the bottom left, and then we have a special guest here tonight, guys. This is Garrett of Dallas Stars Fanatic Podcast. He reached out to us and asked if we'd be willing to do like an appearance for appearance thing, and we said sure. So, Garrett, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Super cool. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem, man. I wish it was under better circumstances, but I'm not joking. I think you couldn't have picked a worse day to join this show.
Seriously.
I have never in my life seen a game like this. There's nothing compares to this game. I am not joking. There's the 4-0 Stars victory, or Stars, they were ahead 4-0. This is back in the Mike Modano era. And they lost the game 6-5. That does not compare to this game tonight in any form or fashion at all. Okay. I'll just go ahead.
It's kind of like Blues game 7.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But I'll go ahead and I'll get each of y'all's just initial observations from tonight's game. James, why didn't you go ahead and go first? What's your initial observation?
My initial observation is that we're playing like we were playing at the beginning of the season, where we would score a goal and then instantly just flip the momentum right back around and they would score one and we just kind of cry as Stars fans.
Chris, what do you think?
I mean, it sucked. Watch the game. I mean,
when Chris is speechless, that's a terrible thing. Yeah. When Chris is speechless, that's a terrible thing. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Well, we're the better team. We shot 51 shots. When we scored barely 3 goals, we scored one of them at the very end of the game during garbage time. And I honestly don't know. And there's so many shots that just miss the net completely. Like wide open in front of the net, should be a goal 9 out of 10 times, and it doesn't even hit the net. Like Foxa from Owen Newkirk, you know, he does the scoring chance thing that he does. He gave Foxa 5 high quality scoring chances, and that was only after the second period. He ends the night with 1 shot on goal from 5 scoring chances.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The Sagan one, he has 9 shots on goal tonight, and he still misses the net like 5 times at least, and the terrible one where he was in the crease and missed the net somehow. I mean, yes, the system is bad. Bones has to figure out a way to get the team ready to play the third period. I don't know how you're not ready to play the third period when you have all the momentum going your way. But honestly, it's coming down to these players. I mean, that's terrible. Like, find a way to score, find a way to hit the net. It's embarrassing. This is an embarrassing game.
Garrett, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I definitely agree with both of those things. And when I look at it on paper, it's not a mystery why they lost, right? I mean, you look at the numbers, mentioned they got 51 shots on net, but you go 0 for 7 on the power play. I mean, you're never, ever going to win a hockey game if you go 0 for 7 on the hockey play, and just or on the power play. Just the stupefying thing is just how good they've been on home ice, especially recently. You know, 13 out of 14 wins. The power play has been the thing propping that up, and it's just unbelievable to watch them just put that kind of a performance on the home ice in front of their fans. You guys mentioned the third period, especially. I thought it was really interesting how you get a lot of momentum headed out of the second. Your crowd is really into it on the almost goal that was for Michael Roffel, and you come out and lay an absolute egg in the third. I absolutely agree with you there. It's not a mystery why they lost when you put it on paper, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't, that it makes any sense, you know?
And at that point, guys, I don't even know where to take this conversation at this point. I really honestly don't, because this is like a culmination of so many things. So I'm just going to go ahead and just start with just the first period, okay? So we're just going to – because I want to jump on the whole Jonathan Drouin thing. I want to jump on the whole Klingberg can't figure out how to play hockey now. Ottinger pulled two times in a row now, back-to-back games, not just on at home, but now also on the road, or excuse me, not just on the road, but also at home now, where he's supposed to be really good. And then the special teams, I mean, pick one, which direction y'all want to go first?
Well, like it was already said, the special teams is the reason we lost. I mean, the technically 1 for 7, it was really 0 for 7. We had two-minute power plays that were 6-on-4. So you can't find a way, as one of the best power play teams in the league, on home ice, which is your better side, against a bad penalty kill who hasn't been playing hockey a whole lot in the last month, and you can't find a way to put pucks in the net. It's sad. And it came from a lack of effort overall, too. I mean, there's no net crash on the power play whatsoever the entire game. A great example of it was the faceoff win from Hintz that goes straight to Klingberg and just goes like between his skates and just gets out of the zone, wastes 20 seconds off the clock, just off a faceoff win. It just looked like overall laziness all around. And especially in the first and the beginning of the second, when they got those two goals, bang, bang, it looked very casual. And that was the key word that Razor kept saying, is they were being very casual and trying to just bank on their skill beating the Canadians, and didn't work. We have not enough skill.
So, I mean, what else can we say about that power play? Because this seemed to be a strong suit for this team, and then all of a sudden it just can't seem to figure out how to put the puck in the net. And then in tonight's game, it was all just shots from the outside. And if you're Montreal, you're giving up those shots every night of the week. I mean, there was no net drive. I mean, Hintz was doing Hintz things at the end when it was already too late. He was using his speed to get in on into the offensive zone, and there was none of that. It was set up, shoot from the outside, one shot. Okay, they get it out, or they control the puck. It's out of the zone. That's what it was tonight. And go ahead, Garrett.
Yeah, Ryan, I think you mentioned it. I saw in your tweets that you fired away tonight, summed it up pretty well. They were just desperately missing Jason Robertson, for sure. I mean, I think tonight shows just how valuable he is to the Stars, especially in the power play. Just that net front crash and how much chemistry there is with that top line with Hintz and Pavelski. Without all three of them working together, I mean, it's even more concerning now than it was maybe last week of what the Stars have besides that group, you know? So I think that was the thing that was mainly missing on the power play tonight. But again, you have to give the Canadians a lot of credit. That's a team that came in with just two road wins on the season. I think one of them was against Arizona. They just played Arizona yesterday. And at the end of the day, this group had guys like Tyler Pitlick, who is a cult hero in Dallas for, I don't know, he had a very brief foray in his time with Dallas, but a lot of people liked him. And just guys like him and the guy they had in net, can't even come up with his name right now. But these guys are salty dogs in the NHL. They still want to continue their NHL careers. And you have to give them credit. They played, I guess, as good as a game as you could call that game.
Yeah, They played a good game for the worst team in the league, but right. I mean, especially, and I know, of course, we don't have Jason Robertson, and Otter didn't play great, but you've got to think, if you're a good hockey team, you find a way to beat this team when you have seven power plays without Jason Robertson or not. So if this team is really that fragile to where one of those guys is out and the top line isn't there, then this team isn't good enough at all to do anything, and it needs to go to that.
So during that whole thing, there's two questions that I'm gonna follow up with. But first, we need to look at the other side of special teams today. The penalty kill has been absolutely atrocious ever since the COVID break, and I believe it was Owen Newkirk. It was either Owen Newkirk or Bruce Levine, one of the radio guys, put out this tweet and said that at this point right now, the Stars are at 65% success on the penalty kill since the COVID shutdown. That is an absolutely alarming stat for a team who is supposed to be a defensive team.
Defense. We don't want that offense. That's terrible. I mean, we can't have that. So stupid.
I mean, James, what's the answer here? Is it Jake Oettinger just wasn't good tonight on the penalty kill, or was it just that it's not working? We're allowing passes. What's the issue? What's going on right now?
My answer is it's just not working. It just isn't. I don't know what's wrong. I'm not a crazy analyst. I don't know. I don't pick up as much as y'all do. I don't know why you gave this question to me, but it really just feels like we just kind of gave up on this game before it even started.
Well, and that goes back into the game that we talked about. And I think it was I was talking to the Locked On Stars host, Dane, about the Friday game in our last crossover episode, just me and him did. And I said there was just like a lack of emotion in this game, a lack of desire or want. And we didn't really see that again in this game tonight. But I mean, there's so many other things we need to hit. We need to keep going. Y'all kind of mentioned this about because Garrett mentioned, oh, I don't know who this guy even is. And that made me realize about my tweet that one of the first tweets I put out for the night was I said, Dear Dallas Stars, please don't make a backup goaltender look like a Vezina caliber candidate tonight. Sincerely, Dallas Stars fans. And that is exactly what they did tonight. Was that really the backup goaltender doing really well tonight, or was it the Stars' inability to score? Or maybe a combination of both. What do y'all think?
I mean, it's got to be a little bit of both whenever he saves that many shots. Was it 47 when he hit?
47 out of 50.
48, it says.
48 out of 51.
On this sheet, but whatever. So he had to be good. But still, he's not the backup, though. He's the backup. They picked him up off of waivers. He's supposed to be not in the league. Yeah. He's not supposed to be in the league. He's supposed to be in the AHL right now. It's got to be some of the shots.
It's crazy. I went back and looked at the few stats that he actually has. He has 39 games in the NHL, and his average save percentage is an 894.
And what baffles me is I've said that he's not actually a backup thing before in reference to a Stars game, like multiple times. And they still beat us and play great every time. Well, great in quotation marks. You know what I'm saying. It's so annoying.
They did not play great.
It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. Well, I do. It's the shots, but how do the shots not get better? Like, just shoot better. I thought...
For me, this is my follow-up question to the whole backup goaltender thing. And at first I was like, I was one way, and then it kind of progressed towards another way. Was tonight just a freak of nature, hockey gods, we need to make a sacrifice kind of game? Or was this that the Stars were bad? Or again, was it a combination of both? Because I can give you my answer, but I'm curious how y'all feel.
My answer on tonight is that the Stars were bad. It really I didn't get to watch the first period, which I think was probably our best period from what I was hearing from my dad. But they didn't score in their best period. And the rest of the game that I saw, we couldn't get anything on in the back of the net.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, it being like an early season game, that was a big issue with the beginning of the season. We'd play a great period and have nothing to show for it. and that happens again. So you're definitely right about that.
Yeah, I think really overall, it was a bad game that snowballed, right? I mean, you look at the end of that second period, it's a 2-1 game. If you walk away saying, okay, the Stars are going to get two goals in this third period, you're thinking, oh, great, they're going home with the win, right? That's a 3-2 win, right? You don't imagine them giving up three goals in the third period. So I think it was a bad game through the first two periods that really snowballed into an absolute disaster in the third, in my mind. And there are a few things we can definitely get into this later, but there are a few things that in this game kind of point to, oh, man, is the foundation bad, right? Is the core bad right now as it stands this season? But as of now, for tonight, I think it was a bad game that just got out of hand.
Yeah, and that's definitely true, because after the second period, like we were talking about, we had the momentum. I mean, right. Even a decent team, like a middle-of-the-pack team, like the Stars, should have been able to go
we're
out.
Not
and it's a perfect number behind game.
At this point, we're not, and I'm going to go ahead and say it now. We're not making the playoffs this season. We're not making the playoffs this season. And I'm over it. I'm tired of feeling hope. I'm just ready to give up hope, because this is getting absolutely ridiculous. This happens every time the Stars lose and find a way to lose to these really crappy teams. We go back to Ottawa twice. We lose to the Vancouver Canucks when they are tanking before they're actually a relevant team. We lose 6-3. 6-3. That makes no sense. They scored 6 goals in the previous 8 games, and we gave them 6 goals. And then tonight, it makes no sense. And while I'm going off right now, because I'm hacked off, how on earth, if you're Tyler Seguin, you're 2 feet in front of the net, you miss the net.
We're already
you miss the net. I'm channeling my inner Steve Dangle right now. Oh my gosh.
Good job, okay. Brian. You held it in for 15 minutes. I'm done. I'm proud of you.
But I know, right. I held it in, and okay. Whew, I don't feel any better. But still, I mean, do y'all understand my frustration? Is my frustration relevant right now?
No, not at all. Completely wrong.
But
I think the scary thing about Seguin is that makes me wonder, okay, how healthy is he really? You know what I mean? Because that was a big question mark coming into this year. And when you look back over the past few seasons, only playing 4 games last year, and then toward the end of 2020 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, he was not himself. I really wonder if he's ever going to get back to that player that we once saw. You know, is he actually 100% right now? That's my question after tonight.
Or will he ever be? Because I mean, if it's from a surgery like that, it's something that could mess you up and give you not as good range of motion. You don't feel comfortable on it. You won't ever have that confidence again. So yeah.
And just while we mentioned the missed shot by Seguin, Seguin wasn't the only one missing shots in front of the net tonight.
Yeah, he put up I should be a little fair to Seguin there, but that was the biggest one, because that was a chance for us to try and get back to this game.
That was the most obvious one, too.
And that was the obvious one. Right.
But
sorry, James, I totally cut you off. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. They put up this graphic in the second intermission report, and they were showing it was the shot chart that they had that they were keeping for the night. They kept like missed shots, block shots. In the second period, we had 6 shots in below the dots right in front of the net that we missed the net on. We didn't even get a shot on. It wasn't blocked. We just whiffed the net completely. And we still had 51 shots in the game.
Hey guys, this is Ryan. We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the action of the divisional round. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their very first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code THPN, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years of age or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, I think shot at Tim's had to be well over 100. I mean, if I had to guess, it would be 120.
I think on top of the 51 that they actually were able to get onto net, there was another 30 that were blocked. So it was about 80 to 90 shots towards the net tonight. And I want to blame it on the hockey gods, but this continues to happen. It continues to happen. So I'm with you 100%. This is completely the Stars just are not taking care of business.
Yeah.
And
they suck tonight.
Yeah. And
I'm ready to get into the foundation conversation that Garrett was about to bring up. I mean,
go ahead.
If Jason Robertson being out is really all that is the only difference between the Stars being a bubble playoff team and being worse than the worst team in the league, I mean, that's not a strong foundation. I mean, right. That's not something that you can actually have a hockey team on just one line. And it's continued to happen. We still have 50% of our goals by that one line, even today. When we say that the Ben Sagan Gurry line is getting so much better, there's no production.
Right. And the scary thing is, you go into tonight, right, and you look at the past couple of weeks, especially just since the pause, leave it at that. What's the Stars' identity? Well, it's a team with a really good first line that wins a lot at home. And then tonight, the first line gets a goal out of Joe Pavelski just because he's amazing, but almost nothing else. And they lose to the worst team in the league at home. So if you don't have those two things, then what is this team? Exactly. It's nothing, right? I mean, we saw their identity that they've formed this season and over the past couple of weeks just completely collapsed tonight. And that's my question moving forward, because, like, what are you if you're not that, you know?
Yeah. The only thing that went against the Stars' identity tonight was the power play.
Right.
And so that was one thing that we normally do good that we did bad. Everything else was pretty much the same. We just didn't have our first line.
Right.
Honestly, if we look at it that way.
And again, you know, y'all talk about this and the fact that, you know, that this they had a good game. And I'm sitting here screaming on camera on the internet.
Using video game terms, like, what's their win condition when they don't have their first line? There's not one.
You're right.
There's no way they're supposed to win. Well, maybe the power play, but guess not. Not when you give up five goals.
And then I'm go off if I go too long. How on earth do you give up? That was a 3-0. A 3-0. The Dvorak goal.
How what a goal, by
on
the way.
Earth. Sick. Doesn't make any sense how you could even. This is a defensive team, guys. Yeah, this is a defensive team.
What about the foundation, Ryan? To keep going back to individual. What about the foundations? What do you think of the foundations?
Screw the foundations.
Screw the foundation. Trade them all.
Yes.
Trade exactly. Joe Pavelski. Well, he's a rental now.
So this pulls me up to two things. And I wasn't fully on board with this until fully on board until tonight's game. And I am 100% ready to get rid of the coach right now. Because this, and I'm going to, this is the last chance for the Stars with the way that this team is built to have a shot at the Stanley Cup. This is it. Next year's a retool year. Next year, we 100% will not make the playoffs. We have no chance of making the playoffs next year because it's going to be
bold statement.
No, that's not a bold statement. I really an HSO, a hot sports opinion. That's not a bold statement at all. The way that this team is and the way you look at the contracts, this is it. This is the last window of this opportunity. Radulov is gone. Klingberger is gone. Pavelski is maybe gone. I hope to God we re-sign him. You can't, this is it. And you have to do something. Jim Nill, please do something. Nothing is working. Something is not working. And again, the Stars are 5-3 in their last eight games. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm just tired of talking about the midseason coach firing because it's not going to happen. I mean, Jim Nill's not going to do that. I think the more likely thing is that Gagliardi fires both of them on his own. I mean, Jim Nill is just not the kind of guy who's going to fire somebody midseason.
Right. And I think among the fan base for sure, Ryan, you could absolutely say that the Stanley Cup final grace period for Rick Bowness has run out among the fans, just among the fans. I'll leave it at that. I definitely agree that, you know, Gagliardi might have a little more patience, at least getting to the end of the season or whatnot. But yeah, it does seem like tonight might be that dagger in, okay, the fans are officially ready to move on, because that's kind of been in the water for, you know, several weeks on to a month. But tonight, I feel like it's definitely palpable right now after you lose a home game like that.
Yep. The fans live on emotion.
Right.
Well, and right now, I even put this up on Twitter. I was like,
I'm ready. On Twitter?
Way too much today. Way too much. I ravaged tonight. I'm not joking. I raged.
Trust me, Ryan, we saw it.
I'm ready to trade Klingberg. Klingberg absolutely was flat out atrocious tonight again. And maybe I'm just not being fair to him, just because we know that he is more than likely going to be traded. So I'm being more critical of him, but I'm noticing it a lot more.
Yeah, I feel like we're looking for it too, though, to be fair.
And maybe that is to be fair, like, but he just has not been good. Absolutely has not been good. There, and maybe the part of it is that the defensive side has been so sucky lately, and there's no offense to counteract that really poor defensive play by Klingberg right now.
That's definitely part of it. But like, he had two goals that he could have stopped the pass across on that he didn't, where it's not necessarily his fault that he didn't stop the pass, right? Like, those are going to go through sometimes. But these are things that we see him do normally. He normally would stop a pass like that, or at least one of the two that he had tonight.
I just don't get it. And everyone's talking about the fact that, oh, he's checked out and you know, everything like that. I think that's just the feeling from Stars fans. I don't think he's actually checked out. I really think he's just playing bad right now. And it's not just him. It's everybody cannot contribute offensively, it seems like.
I mean, and yet we score three goals. Might as well jump on the new multimillionaire Haskinen. I mean, he doesn't do much tonight either. Two shots on goal. Terrible time for a tripping penalty. I mean, I know the Stars fans were all screaming in there, but they were screaming at everything. It was a can opener. It was pretty obvious. So, I mean, he didn't play great either. So, I mean, we can throw it on the scapegoat, but we got this guy who's going to be stuck around for another 8 years. He didn't play so great tonight either.
So let's go ahead, and because we're getting already pretty late here, because we got to talk about the what happened in the third period. 7:57 left in the third period. There was a scrum right before that, you know, right after the whistle blew in front of Montembeau, and Jamie Benn, obviously visibly frustrated, just kind of loses his cool. He's going off on all these players and, you know, trying to get something going for the Stars. On the ensuing face-off in right outside of the offensive blue line, there's just a giant scrum. Tyler Seguin wins the faceoff, and it looks like Tyler Seguin gets his stick up high, but it's not in. It appears to not be intentional to me. Okay,
no, it was intentional,
Drew, and maybe it was. Like I said, it appeared intentional. It did not appear intentional to me, but right after that, obviously Drew N thought it was intentional, and he shoves his stick, cross checks his stick straight into the back of Tyler Seguin's neck. How did y'all feel about that whole thing there, whether it was Jamie Benn off on the side trying to pick a fight, or the whole Jonathan Drouin thing? What do y'all think?
Well, overall, it was the ref's fault. I mean, it was a terrible thing just to do nothing about everybody attacking each other and then just let him go do another face-off. Like, oh, it's going to be fine. I mean, we're really lucky Tyler Seguin isn't injured, or else this is a much bigger deal for, like, the NHL, for the Stars overall, obviously for Tyler Seguin's health. But, yeah, it was the refs definitely needed to do something to calm the game down from there, and they did not do their job at all. But yeah, obviously a dirty play, but what else would you expect?
Yeah, on those broadcasts tonight, it was interesting. They were talking about Drouin before that, I think in the second or third, and they said, yeah, he was the number three overall pick, I think, in 13 to the Lightning, and they shipped him off eventually. But I think Razor said the critique with him is he's either electric or he's not doing anything on the ice, right? He's absent on the ice. Well, that's quite a way to avoid being absent on the ice, right? Is to cross-check somebody. But no, I digress. Yeah, I think that could have been a lot worse for sure. But I, as far as Ben goes, I mean, this is not high or low, right? Terrible team, the 2016-17 team or the Stanley Cup final team, right? That's the thing that you're going to get with Jamie Benn. He's going to stand up. He's going to honor the captaincy, and he's going to try to give some kind of emotional charge. And I think that it's good when you see something like this where things absolutely fell apart tonight, that at least you're getting that from your captain, you know?
Yeah. What a good bright side. I love that.
Yeah, there's me over here, you know, negative Nancy, and then Garrett's over there being all positive.
That's my niche, I guess.
Yeah. I can't think of a girl name who starts with a P. Positive
Patty.
Positive Patty. There we go. Yeah, there positive Patty. Well, on a, James, and I honestly think that the cross check deserves a suspension of some kind from Drouin. I honestly think because it was drilled into the ice, into his head. And it could have severely injured Tyler Seguin. Now, whether it the high stick, the butt end of the stick in his face was intentional from Seguin towards Drouin, I don't think that matters. I think what does matter is what Drouin did. Is it suspendable? What do you think?
At least fineable for sure. He'll be hearing from the league discipline office in some capacity or another.
It'll be a fine, but it won't be a suspension. I'd be really surprised if it was suspension, honestly.
And, you know, I really think it's a suspension. I really do. I'm not saying he's going to get, like, you know, 5, 6, 7 games, but I myself would not be surprised to see a 1 or 2 game suspension for that cross check. Cause that was blatant. And it was, it was the Stars' fault. It really was, because they egged him on. But the fact that he did it. So I really think it's worthy of a suspension, and that's just how I feel. Let's just take a couple of questions real quick, and we'll call it a night. Ardell, again, a really loyal listener of the show here. The penalty kill's in shambles. Team defense is falling apart. Does Bonus have a job tomorrow? If I was Jim Nill, I would say no. What do you say?
Yeah, he does. I wish he didn't. I agree with you, but he's going to have a job, no doubt.
Realistically, James? Yes. Go ahead, tomorrow. Yeah.
Realistically? Okay, well, I'm not thinking realistically right now.
We know, Ryan. I know. We have heard.
James?
Honestly, like, obviously, we're in a sucky spot right now. In my opinion, the Stars as a whole, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs. I feel like it wouldn't matter if we fired him or not at this point, honestly. So
agreed.
Ardell also brings up another question. Montreal was on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Can Dallas turn
around to the Coyotes?
Yeah. Can Dallas turn it around on this road trip? No, they can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we teed up the perfect podcast for Garrett to come on too. I was like, man, we're just gonna have an easy.
It's gonna be a layup.
Podcast talk about good things.
No.
Sorry, Garrett.
Answering the question, no, because they can't win on the road.
They
That's
can't.
True.
Yeah.
They haven't driven it.
But
I don't care. I don't care. This is Montreal. We lost to Montreal.
The only bright side that we get is that we're playing all bad teams for the next four games.
It obviously doesn't matter.
It obviously doesn't matter. No, James, do I need to go ranting again?
Okay, this was
a home
game.
Two to Ottawa.
We only lose to bad teams at home.
Today to Montreal.
Yeah, we only lose to bad teams at home.
Oh, so we just need to add the lose to bad teams on the road to our resume as well. Okay, okay, last question. Brandon says, are we embarrassed enough to fire Bones now or what? What do we have to do to make a real change? We kind of already talked about the first question a little bit, not too much, but what do we have to do to make a real change if firing Bones is not the answer?
Well, we don't have to get into this right now, but you talked about how next year's a retool. I really hope it's not. I hope it's a teardown.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Ben and Sagan can't do it. We've already talked about how Sagan might not be 100%. Ben, after the Art Ross year, has done nothing. All we have is a first line. That's not enough.
And you're right. So, okay, guys, I think we're going to call it quits here tonight. We're kind of getting it kind of late here because that game, that third period lasted forever.
One last thing. One last thing.
Go ahead, Garrett. Yeah.
The only good thing about today was Razor's tweet. That you retweeted the straight out of COVID or whatever, out of COVID.
Yes.
That was the only good thing about today.
Yep.
Right. So, okay. We will be back with you guys once again on Thursday after the game against Buffalo. Please, hockey gods, just give us one win. I'm begging you right now. And then we'll play on Friday against Detroit. So we'll be back with you guys on both of those days. I want to thank once again, Garrett. Thanks for coming on the show, man. I wish we could have given you an easier show where we get to talk about fun stuff, but that was the worst game I've ever watched in my life. Can you just tell everybody where they can find you or, you know, Twitter handle, all that social media stuff where they can find you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first off, thank you all for having me on. Hopefully we can make it happen again sometime, maybe after dunking on Detroit or something or destroying the Blackhawks or something. That'd be nice. That'd be a different change of pace, but you can find us on our podcast is the Dallas Stars Fanatic Podcast. It's a division of DallasSportsFanatic.com, which your followers might be familiar with. They do a lot of Mavs coverage, a lot of Cowboys coverage, but we've been trying to increase our Stars presence for the past couple of years, and I'm kind of the point man on that. So you can find us. We're trying to grow right now and push our socials. So Stars Fanatic Pod on Twitter. If you guys want to drop a follow there, that'd be huge.
Yep. Once again, man, thanks for coming on. Chris and James, it's good to see y'all again. Hopefully we can have more fun on the next one. I will be more calm next time. I've never been like this emotional about a game. But anyways, that's also true. That's a lie too. We want to thank once again our sponsors for this episode and for our entire hockey podcast network, DraftKings. Make sure you go and use the promo code THPN. Next time you go and use their app for a special little offer from them. We thank them for doing this for us and allowing us to have fun with this podcast and talking about our favorite team. So once again, along with Garrett, Chris, and James, I'm Ryan, and we will catch you guys on the flip side. We hope you all have a good, fantastic evening/morning/whenever you're watching or listening to this podcast. Good night.